The Leeds landlord.
Hi, you're listening to Dan and Pals. In case you're wondering why we're off air, then it's because of the 2 minute silence for Remembrance Day. We'll be introducing the show properly after this little number.
I am yours now, so now I don't ever have.
You are listening to Dan and Pals on LSR FM. Good morning. It's a drizzly grey morning in Leeds. But we're going to start the show. It's Remembrance Tuesday, so we'll be talking a bit about that. But we shall also be talking about celebrity culture and Russell Brand and and localization and globalization and all sorts of other news and Rob Ford and stuff. In the studio today, I've got Jack. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Dan. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm all right. Just about got out of bed this morning at like 20 past 10, but I made it. And we've got a new mate in, a new pal. She's called Vicky. She's from Leeds. Welcome.
Hiya.
How you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
Yeah. I'm all right. I'm all right.
We're a pal missing today.
Will texted me at 11 o'clock saying, "Oh mate, I've just woken up. I was like,
I was going to lie to everyone and say that he was ill, but
I think that
works too.
I've asked him to come in. I've been like trying to get in for 11:30, but I don't know if he'll make it.
So if you're listening, Will, just think about what you've done.
Yeah, he's now known as Will the Snail.
doesn't even rhyme.
So, right, what we're going to talk about today is it's Remembrance Tuesday. We've just had a couple of minutes silence in memory of everyone that, like all the soldiers that died during World War One and World War Two.
Very moving speech by a guy.
Yeah.
Who is he?
I'm not sure, but so basically some stuff has just happened outside the Union and loads of people have gathered, and it was quite moving to see. Just some facts about Remembrance Day. It was designated by King George V on the 7th of November 1919, and it's just to remember everyone who died, and I think it's good because it brings everyone together, and we realise what's really important in life, because, you know, obviously when people die...
It's a particularly special kind of Remembrance Day because it's the 100th anniversary of World War One.
Oh, is it?
Country has 94, since the start of World War One. And for something to be kind of remembered for that long, I think it's good. I don't think that we can really say that there's been any war in history where people have had this kind of connection to it after such a long period of time, but I think that's a good thing.
Well, segueing on, Rob Ford, who is the mayor of Toronto, who I don't know if you remember, but he got found out that he was like smoking crack and seeing hookers.
And
he was a bit of a bad boy. But he actually had to cancel his Remembrance Day appearance.
He was cancelled, didn't he?
Today. Yeah, he's not well, unfortunately. So we do wish him better. But
get on to him, Rob.
Yeah, definitely. But I want to just talk about like how open he is with what he did and how he just sort of... He didn't lie and try and weasel his way out of it.
I kind of rated him for it, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're just like... Should all MPs and all people in Parliament be that open and sort of... It's got this degree of, like, trust in them. The fact that, well, we know you can mess up. You're not perfect, therefore you are like us. And is that a good thing?
I don't think I'd want my country led by somebody who'd never smoked a spliff, because, like, they've obviously just got no concept of what's in the real world, do you know what I mean?
Designate drug use on this radio station.
Oh yeah, we don't condone it whatsoever.
Condone, that's the word.
Obviously. But everybody makes mistakes, you know?
Yeah, no, like definitely, like George Osborne and David Cameron and Boris Johnson.
Where is their designated drug use?
Yeah, probably in the House of Lords. And anyway, I was just wondering, like, should more politicians, like Rob Ford, be... like this open about their antics, even though Rob Ford was found out, he didn't just admit it. But once he did get found out, he sort of not embraced it, but was just like, "All right, I've done it, and I'm mayor. I'm going to do my job."
Yeah, it's a wonder he didn't resign.
Yeah, exactly.
Given the kind of climate of resigning over any kind of slight kind of mishap, let alone a big mishap like that. A big mishap in the eyes of kind of a lot of people.
Yeah,
but I think it does kind of endear him to people. And I think just as much as it's endeared into people, it will have alienated him from a lot of people as well. I've read an article about a guy who refused to shake his hand about the remembrance. He was doing the remembrance, planning the remembrance speech, which obviously he didn't do. And there was a kind of army veteran that said, "You know, I'm going to refuse to shake his hand because he doesn't, you know, won't have any part in his drug use." and so it can alienate people as well.
Hmm. Okay, so we're going to talk about various other things, but first we're going to have the Raconteurs. Steady As She Goes on a Tuesday morning on LSR FM. If you are listening at the moment, please get involved on the chat box or via Twitter or the LSR FM Facebook page, or if you're on a mountain, smoke signals, which you know has been done before. And yeah, just be great to hear from you.
Please, someone,
anyone.
Keeping with the theme of poppy wearing today. I read yesterday that there's been a poppy hijab sort of released for Muslim women to wear. It's supported by it's backed by the Islamic Society of Britain, and it's intended to raise awareness for Muslims who have fought in the war. Personally, I think it's quite a good thing, as it shows that the majority of Muslims aren't these poppy burning extremists, and it separates them from that, and it's sort of a positive statement. And yeah, I was just wondering what you guys thought about that.
Well, don't you think it kind of represents some sort of appeasement that Muslim people shouldn't be expected to make. Like, because that was such a big issue, they now feel like they have to prove themselves, like, for support.
That's a good thing. I mean, if this poppy hijab didn't come out, then the only association we'd have with Muslims and poppies would be these extremist idiots burning the poppies, surely, in my mind.
But that's a reflection on us. If we were to make that conclusion, then...
No, but I'm just saying that's all we've seen in the media. Now we've seen another side, and obviously the majority side. Mm.
I think it's good in the sense that, obviously, it kind of... It's a good symbol. It's a powerful symbol, combining these two things. And I think, as to a lot of people, it will kind of quell their kind of suspicions about Muslims. But Muslims should not...
I don't think that should be expected of them.
Yeah, exactly. It shouldn't be expected of them to... have to prove their allegiance.
Did you just hear a phone call?
Yeah.
I swear I heard a phone call. We've got a ringer. One sec.
Switchboards are lighting up.
Hello? Oh. Wait, I know who it is. I think it's 50 Cent. 50, how you doing?
Poppies aren't funny, 50.
yeah, 50 just wanted to call up and oh, he's still laughing. Go away, 50. Right, anyway.
Yeah, basically no one rang us.
I definitely heard a phone ring.
There was a phone ring for a second and it threw us all off course.
Yeah, where were we? Poppies, hijabs.
Yeah.
And I was saying, yeah, the default position, it should be that, you know, that a Muslim shouldn't have to prove his allegiance by, or, you know, sorry, a Muslim woman shouldn't have to prove her allegiance by wearing one of these hijabs. And also, for all the Muslim women who choose not to pay £22 to wear one, then, you know, that they could be kind of stigmatised and questions could be raised about them.
That's true.
And it's not fair in that sense.
Well, other people saw it as an appropriation of a piece of religious dress as well. Like, that's strictly for a religious purpose. It shouldn't be appropriated to represent something else, maybe.
Mm.
And I don't see what the problem is with the standard kind of red poppy that people wear. If people choose to buy one, then they can buy one, and it's the same for anyone. And the combining with the hijab is just a bit tasteless, I find.
Yeah, like, for example, they didn't. You could just put a normal poppy on a hijab, and the same message will be displayed, the same statement. That's what you're saying. But then again, I think it's quite a cool idea.
Yeah, to be honest, I was saying all that, but I actually think, like, it's quite a good idea. Like,
I think it leads to kind of
more... If you
want
to wear a poppy hijab, then, you know, go for it. Knock yourself out.
It kind of leads to more kind of integration, and that's a good thing, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. Right, we're going to have another tune. Jack, what tune is it?
I can't see. On my doorbell. By the Watch Right. My doorbell. Oh well. We're sorry about Little John's interruption in that song.
He just walked in, but I don't even know if he did walk in. I don't even know if everyone heard it.
Dan and Powers has a cult following with the American underground hip hop scene, which is something that we're very proud of. Lil Jon likes Takeshi's Castle, doesn't he? Everyone likes Takeshi's Castle. Do you like Craig Charles, Lil Jon?
Well, let's see what he says.
Who doesn't? He's on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Craig Charles is.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
That's amazing.
Like, I would never watch that show normally, but obviously Craig Charles, yeah. Jimmy Bullard as well, who is perhaps the funniest footballer.
I wonder if he'll still manage to score cocaine in the jungle.
Knowing Craig Charles, he probably will.
Does that mean the Funkin' Soul Show's not on anymore?
Who?
Craig Charles' Funkin' Soul Show.
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean it's not going to be on for the time? Is it going to do it from the jungle? Or?
Is that...
Presumably, like, someone will take the reins for a bit.
But no one will replace Craig Charles' Funkin' Soul Show on Radio 6. Hopefully we'll be able to get Funk and Soul Show in on LSRFM.
Ooh.
By Charles Craig.
Is there not one? Is there not... Does no one do a Funk and Soul
show?
I couldn't tell you.
That's what I'd imagine. There's a bit of a gap there to be exploited by someone.
Yeah. Right, we're going to talk about a guy who's not very funny, but he had his own show. He's called Dapper Laughs. Basically, this, I don't know, he's from Essex. Is he? I don't think he's actually from Essex.
I think he likes to think he's an Essex boy, but he's actually from somewhere else.
This man that wears a lot of fig tan and has a very trim beard. He was a Vine man. He was on Vine, wasn't he?
I think so.
I remember seeing it on Facebook, and he used to do these really, really bad jokes. And then the next thing I know, he's got a TV show. Mm. I never watched it personally, but apparently it's been cancelled after one season because why did it get cancelled? Because it's sexist or something?
Basically, it's him going around and being rude to women and treating them as sexual objects and making sort of loose rape threats to them.
The new
in lieu of pickup artistry.
The new Jim Davidson, apparently. The new Jim Davidson.
Oh, that's not a title you want.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking.
the new Adolf Hitler.
So, funny. Anyway, what we're going to do... So this guy, Dapper Laughs, he sort of went up, and he got to this amazing...
Up,
and he got to this really, really great height.
That would have been funny if he'd done that.
Yeah, if he just went up.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
Funny than his actual joke.
How funny would it have been, Jack? 50 found it funny. Anyway.
I'm growing tired of you, 50.
50 and Little John in the studio. He's so little, I can't see him.
They're just in the corner, you know, hitting them pipes and shit.
language.
apologies.
Anyway, so... Yeah, Dapper Laughs. He went really high. Went from zero to hero, and then now he's gone back down to zero. Personally, I don't think it's much of an issue. I just think he's a bit of an idiot.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think as well as what he'd done on the show, like reading some of his tweets and things that he says that aren't kind of on air. He just seems like a generally sort of detestable person.
It's only sexual harassment if she's more attractive than you is one of his tweets.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that was one of his tweets.
Yeah, and besides, you know, even if you discounted all of the sexist garbage that he spouts, his attitudes towards a lot of things are off. Like he ran a campaign to raise money for homeless people he made like a video where him and his friends were like shouting, "You smell of shit."
Language.
Sorry again. You smell of. Okay. Yeah, that was a quote. You smell of, to homeless people and yeah, it's just all a bit. And the fact that the guy's been given a platform on a massive kind of national channel.
Yeah, I think that was a bit.
But now he doesn't. So
my cousin. That was the only reason I like knew about him was my cousin who's like, he's 18 but he's like mentally 14, and he was like, "Have you heard about this Dapper Laughs guy? He's really funny." And I was like, "Oh no, maybe I'll check him out." And then I did, and I was horrified.
Yeah,
is this your male cousin or?
Yeah. So it's like actual like young boys are watching this stuff.
Well, that's probably who he appeals to. These guys are young adults, but who actually mentally are like quite immature. Mm. They like, find this sort of stuff funny.
His vines were a lot more. Sorry, his vines, although they had these kind of sexist undertones, they were a bit more kind of light-hearted. I could deal with him as a viner, like, you know, you don't have to. But the fact, but him on national television kind of angers me a bit. And but he's not anymore.
Well,
so
44 female comedians wrote a letter to him, complaining and
basically saying he wasn't a comedian.
He got his just desserts. And speaking of desserts, I want to talk about localization and globalization.
What was that?
It's just a segue. A nice little segue.
Some lovely globalization and ice cream.
Well, basically, I've been doing some reading recently about sort of this idea of localization, which is essentially the opposite of globalization. So it's bringing everything back home, sort of growing your own food, going to local markets, things being, you know, produced really close to where you live. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's this opposite of, exactly the opposite of globalization. So, you know, for example, globalization, we'll go to a supermarket and we'll buy something and we'll say made in whatever, made in China, whatever. Instead of that, it's made in Leeds or whatever. I was trying to think where you're from, Ricky, but it's completely... Allerton.
Chapel Allerton.
I was going to say Castle Allerton. Chapel. Castle. I knew it was some sort of regal feature. anyway.
But the funny thing about it is, even though they're kind of opposite ends of the spectrum, they're both kind of happening in parallel in some ways at the same time, I feel.
What, like farmers markets?
Yeah, there's kind of a recent upsurge. Well, not just economically, but are you just talking about economics? Are you just talking about, you know, farmers markets and versus Tesco kind of thing?
Or? At the moment, yeah.
Okay.
Just going on to farmers markets, it seems like the problem with farmers markets is that it's only like a certain like calibre of person can afford it. Like, I think they are quite expensive.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely like never go to farmers markets.
No.
And
greengrocers though, they're cheaper than a supermarket.
Are they produced locally?
Yeah, I assume so.
Hmm. Well, I'm not just talking about food. I'm talking about like clothes and watches and cars and, you know, blenders and mango, you know, things that take out stones in mangoes. You know, basically all the stuff we need can be produced locally, and it would reduce the cost of transport, because at the moment, like, for example, you buy an apple in the UK, right, from the UK, Bramley apple, it will go all the way to South Africa to be waxed and then brought all the way back to the UK. So you know how much fuel that uses, and how, like, that's just for like one apple, for like, let's say 10,000 apples. But the amount of apples we consume, that's ridiculous. Like, going all the way across the world and back just to wax an apple, like, that's globalisation. Why is this happening?
I think the shocking thing is that that's cheaper as well, like, just because of the labour.
Yeah,
like,
that's
how much
the only,
they're
yeah,
paid to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In the UK, they probably have, like, special wax and, you know, cost people a lot of money. South Africa, they probably do it really cheap.
But I think that is a shame. It's an issue with the division of labour where, you know, a single product, you know, there's people that, instead of a person being trained kind of in an artisan way to make a product, there's different groups of people trained to make one aspect of the product. And that's just a part of capitalism.
Well, if localization did increase, obviously it will increase the amount of local jobs going in the area. You know, like, for example, apple waxers. You know, that
sticking with that example,
it'll surge, and you know, that will decrease the power of corporations, I think, because, you know, if people start doing their own thing, then, you know, the corporations won't be like, you know, like Tesco or Morrison's or whatever. They won't be hiring people to do it, which means that our government won't be bowing down to these like powers that be, right? And, you know,
if you're stuck for a job after uni, apple waxer.
Apple waxing, definitely.
Apparently, there's a market. Yeah.
We are the government. We forget that. The people. The reason we forget it is because the government that are in parliament bow down to these corporations. If they didn't do that, then power will be thrusted back into our hands. And I think this comes with localization. I think this is a key component.
The thing about people not being able to afford it, like, American Apparel make all their stuff in America, don't they? But, like, they do.
Oh, okay.
But, like, I can't really afford to shop at American Apparel. Do you know what I mean?
But do they get their cotton and all their things that they use to make it from America as well, or does that come from abroad?
I don't know, actually. They say they use all American labour, but I don't know whether that constitutes
Well,
materials as well.
Well, there you have it. Localisation isn't the key.
I thought it was. We need to get to the bottom of this.
Well, we're going to...
I think it's good, mate.
Yeah, so I mean,
on some levels, of course, the more like integrated world is good, and the more we learn about each other, and the more we interact with each other, the better.
Mm.
But I think localization in terms of kind of power is good, and I think like the kind of Scottish referendum and what's going on in Spain with Catalonia.
Yeah, Catalonia had that referendum last night, didn't they?
Well, they had a mock referendum,
a mock sort of poll,
where 80% of people voted in favour.
80%,
both becoming a state and an independent state. But they think the figure will be more sort of 50, you know.
Because it's a mock one, so people are just sort of going for it, and it won't actually.
But I think it's very likely that it'll become a state. Whether it will be an completely independent state is a.
You reckon?
That's a bit more kind of up in the air.
Hmm.
But that it's interesting that there's this sort of trend in Europe.
Yeah, that'll be like Scotland and Catalonia. Mm. Next, it's going to be Manchester, I reckon. right.
Yeah, the West Midlands. Mercia once again.
It seems like with this age of localization, well, hopefully perceived localization, people are raising their consciousness levels, and they're getting really, really high, their consciousness levels.
To tears, remember someday it'll all be over. One day we're gonna get so the day, remember the days when we were close to the end.
showing us the light. It's the Lighthouse family. raising up the consciousness levels, as I said before. Just to quickly go back on what we were just talking about, there's a couple of there's a documentary and a book that I should definitely mention. The book's called Sacred Economics, written by a guy called Charles Eisenstein, all about localization. I'm reading it at the moment. Really, really interesting. It really mixes together sort of this collective spiritual aura with cold economics, and he does really well. And if you don't fancy reading that, there's a really good documentary that you can get on the internet called The Economics of Happiness, directed by Helena Norberry Hodge. And yeah, just really top stuff.
Sounds interesting. But I saw the Lego Movie the other day.
Oh, did you?
Oh, that's a good film.
That was awesome.
Was it awesome?
Yeah. Everything was awesome.
Everything was awesome.
I do like that movie. Okay.
If you can't digest, you know, if you're not in the mood to digest kind of some kind of hard economics, then I'd recommend giving that a watch.
Normally, I said last week, and I said the week before, that we were going to play a CD and try and get our own music in. But unfortunately,
we had a great one this week.
We had a really good one. We had a rap group from Doncaster. And unfortunately, I forgot the CD. So I'm sorry about that, people. I'll bring it next week.
Within the 90s, Hunky?
Yeah, yeah. The 90s Doncaster.
Kick-started the conveyor belt of talent coming out of Doncaster.
Including the likes of Devo.
Devo, of course, man. I wasn't even thinking about Devo. Oh, of course.
But yeah, we'll get that in next week. They're actually really good because they don't... I wish they sort of rapped in this Donny accent, but instead they sound sort of American, but they do it really, really, really well.
Can you blame them?
Nah, not at all. Right, I think we're going to talk about celebrity culture. I was on Facebook yesterday, and trending news, top story, Ariana Grande, who I have no idea who she is. I think she's some sort of, like, I don't know, postman. And she's got a new haircut.
Postwoman, Dan.
Postwoman, of course. Sorry.
She's got a new haircut, did you say?
Apparently her hair's not in a bobble anymore.
Oh, I read about that. Instead of her statement ponytail.
We cannot talk about that. We cannot... The point is that why are we absorbed into every little thing that happens to people that we don't care about, that really does not make... it doesn't change anything. It doesn't have it doesn't affect anyone. Why was this trending?
See that
news?
Haircut? I'm joking.
It's ridiculous. Dramatic change.
It's ridiculous. I think the thing is, celebrities fill a void that was once filled by kind of, you know, the royal family and by politicians in times gone by. But people do have this kind of thirst for, you know, peering into the lives of powerful people, and celebrities are perceived in that way now, just as kind of the royal family would have been, and, you know, not even the royal family, like dukes, you know, the kind of nobles of the time.
But we wouldn't have known everything about dukes and nobles at the time,
not.
Whereas
no,
we know, like, if let's say
that,
like,
that, I'm saying that's where the fascination stems from, just this kind of,
I don't know,
wanting to peer into the lives of I don't think it's necessarily a new thing. It's just the people that
I think it is a new thing. I think it's newspapers and internet and media telling us,
yeah,
oh, this is important.
Consumption of information.
Yeah, right. Precisely. Like, if a duke had a new haircut in, you know, 1746, it wouldn't have been headline news. It really wouldn't have changed anything.
No, but that's because there was no dissemination of information to the masses like there is now. You log on to Facebook, and which everyone does now, pretty much, and you see these kind of stories about Ariana Grande, and
it's so destructive. Though, did you hear about Amanda Bynes?
No, I don't.
Amanda Bynes is having, like, a lot of, like, mental health issues at the moment, but, like, very unfortunately, it's the kind that sort of manifests itself in a big public display because she's got such a platform to sort of show it, and, like, it's really not useful.
It's cruel. Anyway, I was just thinking, like, this sort of, you know, we're talking about, like, an evolution of celebrity or whatever, you know, going from Grand Old Duke of York to Ariana Grande. Now, is the next sort of stage sort of Instagram and Twitter and Facebook followers? You know, these people that are, like, really famous on the internet.
Yeah. Dan Bazarian.
Who?
Dan Bazarian is a guy famous guy who's,
yeah, but he's a poker player.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about, like...
like that girl what does videos about your hair and that.
Yeah, that girl that does videos about your hair.
You know,
and
on
that.
YouTube. What's her name?
Ariana Grande.
On the YouTube.
No, she's some girl that does like makeup tutorials, but she got really famous.
Well,
at least she's
exactly,
doing something. That,
exactly.
You know, she's kind of doing something.
I'm talking about people that do nothing. I'm talking about I saw a TV program.
People that upload pictures of their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're famous. They've got like hundreds of thousands of people view their stuff. Is this the next stage of celebrity, of this sort of
where
void,
anyone can be a celebrity,
like famous for being famous kind of thing.
Nothingness, celebrity bull.
That's what television kind of helped create with shows, with reality TV. That's what this is the kind of growth realization of reality TV.
I don't mean
gross as in disgusting, just to.
It is pretty gross though. I just think it's weird how like it was trending news, and it was like there's so much more other stuff like Remembrance Day wasn't in the top three on the, you know, Facebook trending video trending stories.
Yeah,
it wasn't in top three, but you know, Ariana Grande's new ponytail was. And but the fact is that this isn't Facebook that's giving it us this, but it is, but it's also people viewing it and therefore regurgitating it for Facebook, so it's sort of like a vicious cycle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, whatever. It's just a bit weird.
I mean, like, but the thing is, you know, there's obviously is it an appetite among people to kind of see these things, or is it something that kind of the media has kind of forced on people? And that,
it's both. That's what I'm saying. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. We get the appetite because we've got it available to us, and we've got it available to us because other people have had the appetite. And you know, it literally is just a vicious circle.
Because personally, like, you know, I don't care whether Miley Cyrus has kind of shaved her armpits or not. But you know, the people do.
Yeah,
people do.
In relation to shaving their armpits, Leeds Uni. Lecturers and tutors, apparently they're going on strike and not marking stuff. I remember we mentioned this a couple of weeks
ago. How does that relate to not shaving your armpits? I thought you were going to say they're not shaving their armpits in protest for something.
Quite possibly. I think that's what they are doing. My tutor the other day did lift up his armpit and it did look very hairy, and I reckon it's because of this protest. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We were like talking about how like Leeds Beckett University, the tutors are going on strike and how it affects them and it's really bad. Now it's affecting us, and you know, no one can escape the dark matter of pension funding.
the big black hole, the big hot potato.
Yeah, I was just wondering, as a little group here, if we like supported this or not.
I support it, but it's bloody annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But at the same time,
that's the general consensus.
Right. Yeah,
really. Right.
Supporting, but bloody annoying. In other news. Indian students, right, this guy who's the leader of them called Pratap Singh, in the northern state of Uttar Pradesh, there's a university there, and they believe that it's their democratic right to cheat in exams, and they've created this whole like case for it. I think it's brilliant. Even though they're being funded by the mafia and everyone's scared of them, I still think it's really really cool.
I've never thought about kind of the idea of cheating an exam as a democratic right.
Why is it a democratic right?
I don't know. Apparently, he just said it was a democratic right.
You know, kind of is.
Checking.
Well, the thing is, cheating something which obviously like is forbidden by universities, but it's not illegal. You know, it's not actually illegal to do it.
What, to cheat?
And so therefore should universities, you know, be able to clamp down on it so much?
It's because, like, basically in the university exam system in India, corruption is pretty key. Like the rich can bribe their way to examination success, and there's even a whole subset of the youth population who are brokers between desperate students and the administrators. So it's quite different to Leeds Uni.
Well, so it's not really like the whole idea of like private education, like public schools. You do set yourself up to succeed ahead of everybody else. So maybe they got a point there.
Maybe so. Well, we wish Pratap Singh all the best.
In Uttar Pradesh. I feel like you've mispronounced it somehow.
No, it's called Uttar Pradesh.
Uttar Pradesh.
Well, I know that the there's a really good coast in India. It is in Bombay. It's the best coast. That was Best Coast, The Lonely Morning, top band, rock duo from Los Angeles, California. Right, now we're going to have...
Surfy vibes.
Surfing vibes, definitely. We're going to have...
beach vibes.
A moment with Alan. Vicky, Alan is...
A moment with Alan.
we should definitely have some sort of jingle for that. We should create it.
Yeah. But for now, I'll just go, a moment with Alan.
what was I going to say? Yeah, he's this like... New Age philosopher from the 60s and 70s, and he just talks a lot of truth. A lot of my idea of truth, anyway. Not purely empirical
a lot of truth
facts.
Words.
But sometimes metaphorical stories to explain something that cannot be explained by facts and figures.
Okay.
I'm going to read out this quote in Alan Watts' voice. Okay, there it goes. What is discord at one level? Is harmony at another level.
Whoa.
Brilliant.
Good stuff. A bit deep for a 12 o'clock on a Tuesday, but yeah.
We like to get deep on a Tuesday morning.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, is he kind of touching on the idea of, you know, if you look at something at a molecular level, you can see chaos, and then the further you go out, you can see the order.
Mm.
And so, like, you know, you might look at the world and see chaos. You kind of go out into the universe and you know, you see more.
Yeah.
You see the bigger picture.
The fact that what one person might like, another person might hate. For example, Vicky loves Dapper Laughs. yeah. Personally, I think he's an idiot. But, you know, we both have opinions on him. And what she likes, I might not like. Or what you like. You might love heavy metal, Jack. I might not like heavy metal. Or I might like Russell Brand and you might not like Russell Brand. And speaking of Russell Brand,
I don't have much of an issue with Russell Brand.
He's been in the news again recently, Part Life, and he's I think he's. We've spoken about him before, but the last time we spoke about him, we finished by saying, "Well, you know, he's amazing." We didn't say that. We finished by saying like
Dan did.
You said, Jack, he didn't really do anything. He didn't have any solutions, and he was very idealistic.
I don't think I've said
that. I would agree
really.
With that.
Well, I think he does have some solutions, and he's actually doing things about it. For example, he's the only person getting involved and taking action for this new era estate eviction crisis. It's a housing estate in East London. I think it's in Hoxton. And it's basically this the richest MP, a guy called Richard Bennion, wants to sort of kick everybody out of their homes or increase their rent load so they can't afford it. But they've lived there their whole lives. So Russell Brand has sort of come along, he's taking a stand, and he's fighting the power. And you know,
fair play,
and he's actually doing it. Mm. And this whole like you know the part life thing.
Uh-huh.
So he you know what I mean? Everyone's taking the Mickey out of him, but he's sort of just come right back out by doing his own version, taking the Mickey out of himself. And I just think it's really really good.
And I do like that he done that. And it was a good video. And as well as kind of being funny, it kind of dispelled a lot of the. Because I think people were concerned about, you know, his words, you know, the amount of kind of words he uses, and people think he might lack substance, but he kind of clarified it a bit in that song, which is good to those people.
I do like his sort of accessible, like, political comedy. Like, it's very, appeals to a lot of young people, which I think is good, because we've got a lot of apathy towards politics, and it's our generation that needs to sort of sit up and pay attention, but nobody can be bothered because it's all a bit like
Generation Y.
Generation Y.
Generation Y not. Anyway, let's. We're going to finish the show now. I'd just like to give a quick shout out to a girl called Tilly. She's listening in Rotterdam. We've got international listeners all over the shop.
Hey, Tilly.
Anyway, thank you very much. We'll talk about Generation Y next week. That's a good topic. Cheers, Vicky. Right.
It's all right.
Jack, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
Victoria, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
I've been Dan, you've been listening to Dan and Pals, and have an absolutely cracking day. Cheers.
Students every week.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello and welcome.
And
it's all about you.
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 You. You. You. You.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Live from Leeds University Union.
At the heart of your student life.
The things that matter to you.
To you.
To you.
To you.
Your news.
Your views.
Your life in Leeds.
Live at five.
This is The Beat in association with Amber Cars.
Download our app for the quickest taxi service in Leeds.
Happy birthday, Gollum. Celebrating it here in Fab Cafe was a great idea.
Yes, Samwise. I'm really enjoying the eclectic range of music and the sci-fi themed food. Look, Lord of the Onion Rings.
Yes, the gift says, give some to us now.
But Gandalf hasn't arrived yet.
I say, it's not like Gandalf to be late.
A wizard is never late, nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to. And look, Gollum, I bought you a double scotch.
Pippin, they do doubles here.
Yes, Merry, and they're only 250.
I'm getting one.
Stupid fat hobbit! Doesn't he know Fab Cafe is open every day of the week?
Broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Need a DJ? Well, look no further. LSR provide the equipment
and the music.
Email info@lsrfm.com for more details.